Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk about the Armed Forces Service Center and learn about the VA's MOVE Weight Management Program. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
March is Women's History Month. This month, the Library of Congress is doing an impressive job of telling a cross-section of women's stories, of which include military women. During Korea and Vietnam, women saw few advances in their roles in military service. Then, in the 15 years between the end of the Vietnam War and the start of Operation Desert Shield, the armed forces opened up many specialties to women. And recently, in the Persian Gulf War, as well as conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq, women's participation expanded immensely. Here in the Minnesota National Guard, the role of women has changed over the years as well. The Minnesota National Guard is committed to fostering an environment that truly represents the demographics of the communities in which we serve.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In the first half of the show today, we're going to talk about the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, which opened on November 22, 1970, which was 4 days before Thanksgiving Day. Maggie Purdom, who triggered the actions after her son died in Vietnam, piloted the initiative that initially led to establishing the Servicemen's Center. Years later, the board of directors approved changing the center's name to the Armed Forces Service Center. Maggie and a team of local citizens raised the necessary funds and opened the center in a space provided by the Metropolitan Airports Commission. An eighth grade teacher, Jean Morford, volunteered for the very first shift. She later became the center's board president, and nearly 40 years later, can still be found volunteering there every Monday. In a letter written on January 31st, 1971, only a couple of short months after it opened, Maggie wrote, "I've been very tied up with the Servicemen's Center. It's just been a wonderful thing. We've had 3,500 service people there since November 22nd, and they're so grateful. They can't believe that people really care." She passed away in 2005. And 45, almost 46 years later, the Armed Forces Service Center is still open, and joining me now to discuss it is Deborah Kane, Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center. And Deborah, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
We had you on a few years ago, and we were talking about the Armed Forces Service Center and still going strong out at the airport.
Yes, we are.
And it's an all-volunteer crew, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We have over 170 volunteers to help keep our doors open 24/7.
My goodness, that's a lot of volunteers.
It is. We're very grateful for our dedicated volunteers because without them, we wouldn't be open 24/7. You have eight USOs that are open 24/7 out of 130 around the world.
Now, the Armed Forces Service Center out at our airport, Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, is not affiliated with the USO, is it?
That is correct. We are one of the seven privately run facilities, but we are unique to Minnesota because, as you said, it was founded by Maggie Purdom.
And so the Armed Forces Service Center is a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Correct.
Governed by a board of directors and registered with the Minnesota Attorney General.
That is correct.
And you have an annual audit review that's conducted by an independent accounting firm, and the entire organization is supported by donations.
Right, and we are also very fortunate to have one of Mrs. Purdom's daughters on our board, Nancy Purdom Hall.
So they've stuck around for decades.
Yes, and they have volunteered in our facility. It's just a very humbling environment to be in.
Now, Deborah, how long have you been out there?
I have had the honor to be there since October 2001.
So you've been there for a while yourself, too.
Yes, I have. I've only known the facility post 9/11. And because of that, we now are heavily involved in doing a lot of the meet and greets, like you hear about in Bangor, Maine. We call ourselves like Minnesota's best kept secret.
So let's explain meet and greets, as long as you brought that up. You have it's a troop greeter program that was established in 2006. Is that right?
That's correct. Actually, I was working late one day and I received a phone call and I could barely hear the caller. And they said, "I'm calling from Iraq, 30-second delay, sir, ma'am." And I kept saying, "Go ahead." And it was a second lieutenant en route to Kaneohe Bay with 350 Marines. We were the first touchdown in U.S. soil and they needed assistance. And then fast forward, I went through all the different hurdles at the airport. at 6 in the morning. We had about 16 volunteers in a hangar meeting our very first arrival of combat troops.
So you had just a little time to prepare for 350 Marines that wanted to say hello and at the Minneapolis airport.
Right. Now, fast forward to 2016, and we've done, over 330 military charter flights. Recently, we did, during the blizzard, we had 4 military charter flights on that day. That week, we had 6. We assisted 907 troops just in 1 week.
Tell me about that first meet and greet with those 350 Marines. What did you do for them?
Actually, it was pretty interesting because they were telling us what they needed for their return home, mainly toiletries, because we were their first touchdown before they go to their base where they're going to meet their families. So they were really concerned about shaving, brushing their teeth, deodorant, that kind of thing. And then we had hot dogs. Smoking was in high demand. So we just worked with the airport, U.S. Customs, TSA, the airport police, the air carrier, and made it work.
We're speaking with Deborah Kane, the executive director of the Armed Forces Service Center out at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport on Minnesota Military Radio. And Deborah, I understand now that since that first one is done, now you've actually got like mobile canteens that you use? You're all prepared for this now?
Well, yeah. Actually, what we do, what the troop greeters do when they roll out, we have all types of treats and stuff that we set up at a restricted gate that consists of beverages, snacks, toiletries, different setup for inbound or an outbound flight. We have had as short as a 3-hour notice for rapid deployment. We've also had our longest flight where we've stayed with them. It's been 27 hours. We've stayed with them 17 hours and 12 hours when there's flight delays. We don't leave until they leave, and we do not go to sleep.
You must have a huge amount of cooperation with the airport out there.
We do. We have a very good working relationship with the Minneapolis Airports Commission, as well as Customs, TSA, Airport Police. It's a really unique and rewarding and humbling team.
Deborah, some people may not know, where is the Armed Forces Service Center in the airport?
Well, we're located at Terminal 1 in the ticket level, right above the brand new TSA checkpoint. It's easy to find. We're open 24/7.
So you said it's on the ticket level, or are you up
on the mezzanine?
On the mezzanine above it.
On the mezzanine above the ticket level, like by door 1.
Okay, and is that a big space?
We probably have about 2,000 square feet, which consists of 26 bunks, a lounge, restroom, so to speak, and then a full kitchen. And then we have iPads, a DSN line, and we also have a CAT card reader. So anything that we can assist our traveling service members and their dependents, we have it.
Deborah, this is a 501c3 nonprofit, and you must get donations from a lot of different sources.
Yes, we do, and we greatly need donations because that's how we continue to stay open 24/7. Donations and volunteers, those are our greatest needs.
So I bet you've got a pretty good group of companies that have been donating maybe for years.
We do. Actually, we have a close working relationship with our veteran service organizations in the Twin Cities. They have actually, for 45 years, assisted us with funding and with volunteers. And then we also work with a lot of private businesses in terms of grants and sponsorships. So we're very appreciative.
So if any of our listeners want to get involved by way of donating or volunteering, what's the best way to contact you?
Please visit our website at MNAF, as in Foxtrot, S as in Sierra, C as in Charlie, .org. And then we have a link for volunteering and one for donations.
So just remember Armed Forces Service Center. So it's MNAFSC.org. Go on out there, check it all out. And if you can, help them with the donation. And if you're not able, help them out with a little volunteering. You might find you like it, right?
I think they will.
All right, Deborah, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ready, aim, fire! Ready, aim, fire!
Across Minnesota this past year, hundreds of veterans were honored in their final rites by an American Legion Honor Guard. We take care of our comrades to the end. But the Legion does so much more in Minnesota, from Boys and Girls State to Legionville Safety Patrol Camp to baseball. Please visit your local post and find out what the American Legion does in your community. Please join us in continuing to serve America.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking with Deborah Kane, who's the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center out at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. And Deborah, I just want to clarify this once again. When most people think about Armed Forces Service Center, they think about the USO, which is a great organization that does things all over the world. But you're independent and not part of the USO.
That is correct. Actually, I worked at the USO as a teenager. But no, we are a privately run facility. We all do the same thing, and that is serving those who serve. But we are standalone, independent, unique to Minnesota.
And the AFSC, the Armed Forces Service Center, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and it's supported by donations, and it's supported by local folks that volunteer. And how many volunteers did you say you had?
Well, we have over 160 volunteers, and we're always looking for more.
That's a lot of people to keep track of.
That is, to keep our doors open 24/7, it really is.
24/7, I'm sure there's service members coming and going at all times.
Oh, yes.
Well, that keeps you hopping. That's a great thing.
It does. It's very humbling and very rewarding when you give back.
Now, I understand that it's open to, the Armed Forces Service Centers is open to members of the military, active duty, National Guard, reservists and their dependents, DOD employees, that you got a nice lounge with a TV, access to a military DSN phone line, cell phone, Wi-Fi, iPads, fax, printer, copier machine, bathroom, and toiletries. Also includes a full kitchen with complimentary snacks and beverages, and the men's bunk room sleeps 20, and there's a women's bunk room that sleeps 6. Is that accurate?
That is. We also have a cat card reader, and effective November 11th, 2015, we've expanded our guidelines to include retirees and their dependents.
Now, Deborah, I just want to mention this. This sounds a little different than when I was coming back from Vietnam in 1972. I flew into Minneapolis because I'm a Minneapolis native, and I knew I had to wait for a couple hours for my ride to pick me up. And, of course, that's quite a few years ago. And I can remember going into the Armed Forces Service Center. Of course, it was called a different name back then, the Servicemen's Club or whatever it was. And I can remember it being a very, very good experience because they were so friendly, and there were snacks and water and coffee and a nice, quiet place to wait. And I have fond memories of stopping in there back only a couple of years after it opened.
Yeah, see, it's the stories like that that keep us all going. It's what drives me because we get a lot of feedback from those currently from Vietnam that stopped through and have been through when they returned from theater, and those of the Iraq and Afghanistan war. And that's what really is touching and humbling to us, that we will always be a part of their memory, and a good memory.
And it's still young men and women on their way to or from somewhere.
That's right.
And hopefully a lot of them on their way home to something a lot more fun than coming home from Vietnam.
Yes, we've even had a wedding there.
You had a wedding at the Armed Forces Service Center?
Yep. He was coming back from theater. She was here, and I heard about it. In 24 hours, we scrambled and made it happen.
My goodness. I'll bet you've got pictures of that one.
Yeah, we do.
A wedding. Good for you. And it sounds like it's expanded. It's quite a bit larger than it was several decades ago, and sounds like a pretty nice place to just lay over and relax for a while.
It is, and then there are future plans as the airport expands to move us on the secure side, so that'll be coming down the pike in the next 4 to 5 years.
Deborah, I understand that you won a very special award in 2012.
We did. We were part of along with Defending the Blue Line. It was the Joining Forces Community Challenge. It was part of the White House, and we got to go to the White House along with the other four winners to receive the certificate. And we had the opportunity to bring two guests to the Army-Navy Club, the USO Luncheon. So we brought in the second lieutenant, now Captain Bridget, that called us from Iraq in 2006 wanting support.
For that first meet and greet for those 350 Marines.
He was stationed at Quantico.
I'll bet that was fun.
It was a good full circle moment.
It was. Deborah, now you're a 501c3. It costs about $120,000 a year, I understand, to run the facility, and you're supported by donations and lots of volunteers.
That is correct. More like about $130,000 now, okay, with our expansion, including currently serving and retirees. And donations and volunteers are what keeps our doors open 24/7 and have done so for 45 years, and hopefully will continue to do so.
And you must have a pretty good storeroom somewhere for all these meet and greets and the hundreds of those that happen with hundreds of soldiers and service members.
We do. We have it's actually called the meet and greet room. And what we do, I send up the bat signal once we get the notification, and we have about 30 troop greeters, and those individuals work in our 24-hour facility. They're required to work two shifts a month, and they're the ones that go and meet troops and on-site and off-site for our meet and greets.
Sounds like you've got your own Minutemen and women.
We do, actually. They go above beyond call of duty, and I don't know what we would do without them.
We're speaking with Deborah Kane, Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Deborah, I understand that you've also provide some special service when fallen service members and their accompaniment and their families come through.
Yes, we do. We work very closely with the airport, the military, and the family liaison in terms of when fallen service members return home stateside or KIA, and we've been doing that since 2004. So we have an off-site location that we work with the airport, where it's private, where everybody can stage. And it's been greatly appreciated and a great comfort for the families.
So sometimes it's family members en route to Dover.
That's correct.
Which would be, I wouldn't enjoy that trip to Dover for that reason, I'm sure. And so a little special care for those family members on the way, and special care on the if they're coming home to bury a fallen service member.
Correct. And when the fallen member arrives home, we help coordinate the facility for them and getting them on the tarmac as their loved one returns home.
And Deborah, I understand that the Metropolitan Airport Commission and all of the airlines cooperate with this heartily.
Oh, yes. We're very fortunate that we have a great support in Minnesota for our military personnel and everyone, TSA, the airport, airport police, fire station. We're all part of a special team to make sure that the returned loved one is met with respect.
Deborah, I'm glad you and your volunteers are out there taking care of that. You also occasionally have some wounded troops come through.
Yes, we work very closely with the VA hospital when we have wounded service members transiting through the airport. We work with TSA and the airlines to make sure that they go through the checkpoints in a dignified manner and assist them to the gate if needed, and stay with them if needed, or provide comfort in our facility.
The Armed Forces Service Center has really evolved in since all these years, hasn't it?
Yes, we call ourselves Minnesota's Best Kept Secret, or I like to say Minnesota Nice at its best.
Well, we're going to try to not keep it a secret anymore, Deborah. You're doing a great job out there. And if you want to learn more about the Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, go to mnafsc.org. Just remember the abbreviation for Minnesota and the first letters of Armed Forces Service Center, mnafsc.org. And it is a 501c3 nonprofit. We've established it's not associated with the USO, so they have to get their own funding and their own volunteers. And Deborah, you're always looking for more volunteers, aren't you?
We are always looking for volunteers. Our greatest need is like 8 p.m. to 8 a.m.
And so you sign up for shifts and...
Yes, we have an online scheduling. You go through orientation first, and a background check is required, then training, and then you start your shift, and we have an online scheduling system that you can self-schedule.
And I'll bet when your shift is done, you go home feeling really good about those service members that you took care of today.
Yes, you really, really do. And then we get a lot of feedback. We have like a comment book that they will write in, or they'll send emails just telling us we don't know. We've even had Navy SEALs come through and say, you don't know how you lifted us up when needed. So, yes, it's very humbling and very rewarding.
Deborah, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I want to say thank you for your service, Tom, and welcome home. That's important for our Vietnam vets.
Thank you.
And to thank the Minnesota community for their support of our organization and for our military. It's greatly appreciated.
And everyone remember MNAFSC.org. Deborah, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
That was Deborah Kane, the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center out at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we'll learn all about the VA's Move Weight Management Program. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Rasmussen College. Their commitment to service members, veterans, and military families includes tuition discounts and generous transfer policies, ensuring that their service members and veterans can maximize previous military education and experience in their academic pursuits. Rasmussen provides resume and job placement assistance through biannual career fairs held on or near campuses throughout Minnesota, as well as one-on-one support with a dedicated career services team. They have enhanced student support services to bolster military student success and the transition to both academic and civilian life. Rasmussen College has been a Yellow Ribbon Company since January of 2010 and is proud to make a difference to service members, veterans, and their families.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the VA's Move Weight Management Program. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
There was a new movement established last Veterans Day to recognize veterans, but just as importantly, recognize those who support our veterans. It is called Greenlight a Vet. Americans veterans are some of our nation's bravest, hardest working men and women. However, it's hard to show them the appreciation they deserve when, back home and out of uniform, they're more camouflaged than ever. Greenlight a Vet is a campaign to establish visible national support for our veterans by changing one light to green. Green is the color of hope, renewal, and well-being. Consider changing one light to green in a visible location on your porch, in your home, or at your office, and keep it glowing every day as a symbol of appreciation and support for our veterans. Then, share your support by taking a picture of your green light and posting it on Twitter using the hashtag GreenLightAVet. LinkVet and our county veteran service officers statewide are working together to make Minnesota a driving force in supporting Greenlight a Vet.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. MOVE is a weight management health promotion program designed to improve the lives of veterans. MOVE is the largest and most comprehensive weight management program associated with a medical care system in the United States. Encouraging healthy eating behavior, increasing physical activity, and promoting even small weight losses can reduce the health risks, prevent or reverse certain diseases, and improve quality of life and longevity. And here to talk about that is Jackie Hines, who is a registered dietitian with the Minneapolis VAK healthcare system. Jackie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Can you tell me what does it take to become a registered dietitian?
Well, registered dietitians need to obtain a bachelor's degree in the field and complete an accredited internship and then pass a national exam.
And I understand you interned at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
I did, yes.
And stayed.
And stayed, yes.
Do you have veterans in your family? Do you like veterans?
My dad was a veteran, as was my brother, and I have a lot of extended family that also are in the service. And most recently, two of my nephews also joined the military.
So when you started when you completed your internship, what was your first position at the VA?
I was in the cardiac and surgical area. So I was a clinical ward dietitian.
Okay. And you did that for a few years until you accepted your current position in 2007?
Yes.
And that's working with the MOVE Waste Management Program.
Correct. I am the program coordinator for the facility, and part of my role is to oversee daily functions, successes and challenges with the program, as well as supervise some of the staff.
Now, is this a program that was implemented across the VA, all across the United States?
Yes. It's been implemented for over 10 years. However, in Minneapolis, we were kind of ahead of the game and used as a pilot site when National was developing this program nationally.
Now, I understand from Director Kelly that the Minneapolis VA healthcare system takes care of roughly about 100,000 veterans in Minnesota. I imagine there's a few of them that might be just a little overweight.
Yeah, the recent data is 78.5% of veterans are either overweight or obese. So
sounds like you've got a lot of people to take care of, Jackie.
Good job security.
Can you tell us about the program? How do you implement it and what's it supposed to do?
Yeah, so basically, as you mentioned, you know, just making lifestyle changes can help and improve the quality of life and prevent or decrease severity of chronic conditions that can arise from carrying excess weight, and also with activity, making healthier choices. We offer at Minneapolis, our MOVE program offers a variety of different services to meet the veteran where they're at. It's individualized care, and we can set them up with a program.
Now, Jackie, I'm a veteran myself, and everybody I know, I think, has fought weight problems at one time in their life or not. And as you get older, it's a little tougher. And as you gain weight, as you say, that's got to put pressure on every system in the body. How do you get past the fact that a lot of these veterans have probably tried to lose weight before, and how do they finally get to a place where you can show them how to do it with success?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the VA has been very good at screening for folks that have, you know, fall into that overweight or obese category. So that's the first point, is, you know, trying to bring it to their attention. Let them know that, you know, there is a program within the VA that we can help them. And, you know, trying to get them to move to take that first step. It's a lot of it is staff education as well, so that they know what services we offer, and that, you know, if they have a veteran that is on their panel, that they can refer them to us and we can take care of it and try to help them to make those lifestyle changes that are necessary in order to reduce the weight.
We're speaking with Jackie Hines, who is a registered dietitian with the VA's MOVE Weight Management Program on Minnesota Military Radio. Jackie, while you're talking to me about this, I'm visualizing. I'm thinking, there's Jackie out behind the VA Medical Center with the 30 Marines marching them around the parking lot in order to get them to move. Is that what you're doing?
Not exactly. But we are going to be starting a walking program in March. And it's a pilot program. And then at the end of March, we are going to be participating in a physical activity conscious eating challenge, which is a national challenge, friendly competition with other facilities across the nation.
So part of this is getting up and moving, but the other part of it is make sure you know what you're putting in your mouth.
Correct.
So that you have two sides, don't eat so much and move more. And if you can lose even, I've heard the doctors say, if you can lose even 5% of your body weight, it can make a huge difference. Is that true?
That is true. Absolutely. Weight is really a common denominator for a lot of these chronic conditions that folks suffer with, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol.
Now, can you tell me, what is it about getting older that makes it so hard to lose weight? You know, when I was younger, if I needed to lose some weight, it seems like it was quick and easy.
Right. I think a lot of it has to do with how our lifestyle changes. You know, it's for some reason our health seems to take a back seat for a lot of folks. And we're always, you know, there may be career or family demands that take a priority in above our health. And it's really trying to let folks know and realize that your health is very important and you do need to take control of it in order to, you know, prevent those diseases from arising or improve them or decrease medications. There's a whole host of benefits with even, like you said, a 5% weight loss.
So part of your program is trying to get the veterans to understand that we need a change in what we're doing. We have to make maybe a radical change. You can't just do the same old things you've always done and expect it to be different, can you?
Correct. Yep. And even if, you know, you start off making one or two small changes, that can produce results. And then over time, you just keep on adding a different change and you know, that can be an improvement.
Now, is there an educational aspect to this? Do you bring the veterans in for some kind of classes?
Yeah, we have a variety of different options. For example, we have a phone program. We have individual visits. Folks can attend group education sessions. We have support groups. We have in-house program that we offer to some individuals. We offer bariatric surgery, as well as, you know, communicating. We have a Move Coach app or secure messaging, which is the VA's email system. So there's a variety of different ways we can stay in contact with the veteran to offer support, provide education, and again, get them to realize that they can make these changes and increase their confidence level.
So you get them to make some changes, set some goals, give them some kind of accountability, and give them some moral support?
Absolutely.
And then once they have some success, then hopefully they continue to do the right things.
Yes, absolutely.
So you've been doing this since 2007. You must have some pretty good success cases, some veterans that have really done this.
We have a lot of great success stories. And a lot of these veterans thank us. And, you know, I always remind them that they're the ones that are actually doing it. We, the staff, are providing the tools, you know, and the support, but they are the ones that are actually carrying out this task and making those changes.
Jackie, we have to take a short break. When we come back, you've brought along one of your patients who happens to be a United States Marine Corps veteran from Vietnam, and he has had some success, so we'll talk to him when we come back. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Jackie Hines, who's a registered dietitian with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and in charge of the Move Weight Management Program, which is a program to help our veterans by increasing physical activity and promoting even the small weight losses that can help reduce health risks, prevent or reverse certain diseases, and improve quality of life and longevity. And Jackie, since 2007, you told me you've had some pretty good success story, and you brought a Marine with you today.
I did.
His name is Tom Loft, and he served United States Marine Corps from 67 to 70 in a tour of duty in Vietnam. Tom, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Tom, you're a patient at the VA?
Yes, I am. I've been with the VA since 2008, and been doing good.
And how long ago did you start on the Move Weight Management Program?
I started on the Move program in November of 2013.
And what size were you when you started, Tom?
When I started with the Move program, I was 359, but when I started losing weight myself in May of 2013, I was at 380.
And you were having some problems with your knees, and you weren't feeling too well.
I was having problems with my knees, and I was couldn't hardly breathe. I couldn't walk. I live in a small town, and I go get the mail and 2.5 blocks, and I was gassed.
Okay, and then you joined the Move program, and how did that help you?
Well, I went with the lifestyle coach over the phone, and once a week they would call me and you know, ask how I was going, and they, you know, told me how many calories I should take every day and drink lots of fluids and do some exercise, and it got me going and motivated, and that went really well. I lost about 80 pounds from November until August of 2014, and then I went through the two-week in-house program where you go and stay right at the VA from Monday morning until Friday afternoon and then go home for the weekend and come back the following week. And I lost another 29 pounds then. So in August 22nd of 2014, I was down to 250.
Well, that's a big move, Tom.
It was a lot of work, but it's been worth it. I've got off 90% of my medications, and I'm off my diabetes medications, and that was one of my goals, is to do that. And another one was to be able to go out and walk a mile or two and not huff and puff.
Then you can do that now.
I can do that.
So you're a big believer in this program.
I'm a real big believer in this program. It's done well for me.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that 2 weeks as inpatient program? What'd you learn?
Well, I learned how to eat and how to spread out the food. You got eat your meat portion and your vegetables and salad. And we was on 800 calorie a day diet, and 800 calories sure don't look like that much when you're used to quite a few more.
Wouldn't have gone very far in basic training, would it?
It wouldn't have gone very far in basic training. No, it wouldn't have. But it was, the food was excellent. And we never had a bad meal. Seemed like we was always hungry, but it really didn't bother you after the first couple days. The first couple days, it was, you were growling. Your stomach was growling, but it came to that weekend when you went home, why you really watched it and learned how to eat better and eat your vegetables and your, vegetables and your apples and oranges. And so it was a very good program.
Tom, what would you have to say to other veterans that are listening that might want to lose some weight and feel better?
Well, if you feel like you should lose some weight, I would suggest that you go talk to Jackie's staff and see what the MOVE program is all about.
All right, Tom, thanks for joining us today. Jackie, you got a Marine to believe in this, and he lost over 100 pounds, and his back feels better, and his knees feel better, and he's retrained himself. He's eating better. Were you acting like a drill instructor?
No. Never.
So if our listeners want to get involved and become a part of the MOVE program, how do they do it?
Well, they can contact their primary care physician or their nurse with their primary care team and get in contact with us that way. Or they can just self-referral by just contacting the MOVE program at 612-629-7388.
And I imagine if they're using their email or the internet to contact MyHealth at the VA, they could probably find some information there too as well.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Jackie, we're just about done. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I guess I would just like to encourage anyone that is struggling with their weight or wanting to improve their eating habits or make some changes in their life and improve their quality of life to contact us, and we'd be more than happy to walk you through and give you some good support.
Jackie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Tom Loft from the United States Marine Corps, veteran on the MOVE program, and Jackie Hines, a registered dietitian with Minneapolis VA Healthcare System's MOVE Weight Management Program on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the president of the Minnesota Association of Veterans Service Officers and also the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer, Lisa Klink. Lisa, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good. Life is good. How are you?
Things are great on the radio. How are our veterans doing out in Sibley County?
They're doing awesome. We've had a lot of new people coming in and getting their DD-214 recorded, so they must be listening to the show and hearing our spill for that. And if you are a veteran and you're in your local county, make sure you go and record your DD-214. It's such an important thing to do.
So for all our veterans out there, find your discharge certificate and go get registered with your county veteran service officer. And if you can't find it, go visit them anyway, because likely they can find it. And if you don't need them today, that's all right. You may need them sometime in the future.
Exactly.
Lisa, I understand we want to talk about compensation today, and it's referred to as service connection compensation. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes. And what that is anyone who has served in the military, either active duty or while on inactive duty training or during a training exercise that had acquired an injury or a disease while they're in that active state. And there's a couple of different things to look at, but most importantly to keep in mind is that it can be anything. It can be anything from as severe as having a heart attack or acquiring diabetes while you're in the service, or acquiring it from a presumptive exposure, or it's something as simple as you were on the baseball team of the command and you get wiped out at home base and get a broken leg. So people just don't realize that service connection is basically that. It's an injury or disease that you acquired while you're on service. And the only time that would ever be any conflict or any issue with that is if it was deemed inappropriate behavior. So, and then that's questionable too. But the bottom line is if you were injured in the service or acquired a disease while in service, and definitely it's important to contact your CVSO. Whether it was 20, 30 years ago, I can use a perfect example of a vet who walked in my door who actually had a motorcycle injury in service 20 years ago, to this day had back issues, didn't even realize, didn't put two and two together, and all the while that was a cause from his injury while he was in service on that motorcycle accident. And it was no fault of his own. Someone else had hit him. And bottom line is you just don't know if it's service-connected or not. So if that's happened or a situation like that, go in and see your county veteran service officer, and they can help you identify that.
And the key there is probably going to be if there was any indication of the problem in their medical records while they were in the service, then that's going to be a pretty important fact when they apply for service connection compensation.
It definitely has a positive impact, but it doesn't prevent that that claim from going through, because there are other things that are supporting documentation that you can have. And that can be a statement from a buddy, validating that that incident occurred. Unfortunately, we've had situations where, for example, in St. Louis, they had the fire. In some instances, records get lost. Unfortunately, it is the government. It does get lost. You know, records can get lost. So those are things to keep in mind that, yes, it would be viable if you had it in your service-connected record, in your military records. But if you don't, that doesn't mean it's a no-go. There are other ways that we, as CVSOs, can help you gain that supporting documentation.
So, Lisa, I'm guessing if you wanted to apply for service-connected compensation, the first place to start is your local county veteran service officer.
Definitely. Can't drill it enough. We definitely want to make sure and get the word out to every veteran. And if you're a veteran who's seen your local county veteran service officer, tell your friends, tell your buddies, tell them to go see their CVSO, because you never know. And I can use another perfect story of a gentleman who walked through my door who was from the Vietnam era, decided that, you know, I need to check out VA because I'm getting ready to retire. And walked in my door, said, you know, I just want to get set up. And we got him set up, got him into the VA system. And literally, I hadn't seen him for like 8 months. And he walks through my door, and his first comment to me is, thank you, you saved my life. And I'm like, how did I save your life? And he's like, if I hadn't walked in that day and gone to the VA a week later, I would have had a massive coronary heart attack, and they prevented it. I had a triple bypass. The VA took care of me, and to this day I'm walking around because I walked through this door. And I know that's one huge incident, but that just goes to show you don't know. And he was a Vietnam-era veteran, and he had ischemic heart disease and did not know. So, you know, tell your buddies, tell your friends, go and see your CVSO, because you don't know what might be lurking in your records. You may be unaware. And if anything, go and check it out just to see if you have any benefits.
So listen to Lisa. Go visit your county veteran service officer. Lisa, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's, as always, a pleasure.
That was Lisa Klank, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one mention today. The Homeless Veteran Registry works by connecting federal, state, county, and nonprofit partners in a shared goal of providing housing and services to veterans and their families. Once a veteran is in the registry, these partners work together in a case management approach to create successful and sustainable housing solutions. Veterans can join the registry directly or be referred. Anyone who knows of a homeless veteran is encouraged to call 1-888-LINK-VET or visit registry webpage at minnesotaveteran.org. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Deborah Kane from the Armed Forces Service Center, Jackie Hines, Lisa Klink, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.